Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Keep your hands up. We back.
Put your hands up. We back again. Keep your hands up. Mace is such an underrated 90s rapper.
He is. Something happened. He just kind of, I don't know, he just blew out of every, like, out of nowhere. Like, literally.
Harlem World, his debut album. Like, I bought when it first came out. It was so good. Yeah, and he was a massive part of Bad Boy.
He was, and then he got lost in the shuffle, but he sort of just disappeared.
He disappeared off the face of the planet for a little bit. You know, I think he found religion, and he sort of had, like, I think it was like a 5 or 6 year sort of, I guess, sabbatical. And come back in like 2005 with another album that I thought was really good. I thought it was really hard hitting and good music. Like, it's got the Welcome Back song, which we played a few times here on this fantastic podcast right now. I think the debut single off that album, Breathe, Stretch, Shake, it's obviously got Diddy in there as well, because, you know, Diddy just loves getting involved in, like, everything. But I thought it was a really good album where he come back and then once again, you just don't, you know, you still see Diddy very active on social media and things like that, but you just don't hear or see a lot of Mace anymore.
Maybe that's where he wants it, but we're back because we're back in NFL, week one of NFL, week one of Red Zone back in Australia.
Red Zone. If you've got Foxtel or KO, then you go on the ESPN app, you go into the watch section of the ESPN app, and you put it, it will recognize, well, it did for me anyway, recognize that you're in the Australian region. And all you do is just put in whoever your provider is, whether it's Foxtel or KO.
You click on your pay TV provider, should come up, and then you sign in with that sign in, and then you're in. You're literally in.
And it's happy days. Like, it just makes that 3 a.m. wake up so much more. Like, that's me. Like, I didn't mind getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the last couple of years where it's just been
hard.
The two games, because to watch a game from Woe to Go, especially live, and you flick back from 7-8 and ESPN, and it's good, and I like watching full games. You get to see all the intricacies of playmaking and you know, defensive schemes and things like that. Just stuff that you don't get to see a whole lot if you're just totally on the smack of Red Zone.
True. You're exactly right. So we'll do the same thing we do every week. We'll pretty much like Red Zone, where we rip through the scores and then sort of go through each sort of games. I mean, not back and forth like they do. We'll go in proper order. starting with, and like always, we'll say it, you know, obviously what the US is, but we'll say what we have here. So, like, where it's a Thursday night game there, we'll say Friday here and all the Monday games. Just easier for you guys out there. So we'll go straight in the first game. The first game was spectacular, but we'll go through the scores, I should say. So the first game was the Bucks beating the Cowboys 31-29. And then all the Monday games, the Eagles beating the Falcons 32-6. The Steelers
Falcons
beating the Bills 23-16. The Bengals beating the Minnesota Vikings in OT 27-24. The 49ers beating, you know, a hardy team in the Lions in that game, at least 41-33.
Very, very spirited Detroit Lions in the last sort of 5 minutes of the fourth quarter.
The Cards smashed the Titans 38-13.
Did not see that one coming.
The Seattle Seahawks beat the Colts 28-16. the Chargers beat the Washington Steel football team 20-16.
Can they just get a name for God's sakes?
Like, I thought they're in a voting stage at the moment.
It just can't take this freaking long to get yourself a name. It's ridiculous.
Red Wolves, it sounds good. Red Washington Red Wolves. I like it. No. Just pick one.
You know what mine is. It's the Sentinels.
Yeah, they're not gonna do the Sentinels.
They need to change their color to like purple and blue. And
Keanu Reeves need to be the quarterback. We'll talk about where he probably needs to be the quarterback. That's a whole different ball game. The Carolina Panthers beat the New York Jets in a stinky sort of game, 19-14. The Texans beat the Jags 37-21. The Chiefs
don't let that scoreline fool you. That was a bit of a stinky game too.
The Chiefs come back and beat the Browns 33-29. Well, that was a great game actually.
That was.
Miami Dolphins beat the Pats 17-16. Your boys, the Saints, smashed and just off the park beat Green Bay Packers 38-3.
Blew the doors off the Packers.
That no one's seen coming, at least not for that score. Or probably even the win.
38-3.
Probably not even the win, to be completely honest. The Broncos beat the Giants 27-13. The Rams got off to a winning start and beat the Bears 34-14. And the Tuesday morning game was another OT game, but goddamn, it was a good game. 33-27.
Oh, man.
The Raiders over the Ravens. Guess we'll circle back to the start, the Cowboys and Buccaneers. That was a great game to start this, the very first NFL game off. It was great. It was all round. And I'm a Cowboys supporter, yes, but both teams all round. It was good.
Maybe not so much defensively, although the defense did sort of tighten up in the fourth quarter a little bit. But points were definitely the theme of the evening for that season opener by both teams. Very extremely pass heavy by both teams. Not a whole lot of run game happening.
No.
Zeke only had 33 yards off 11 carries. Leonard Fournette was sort of less than impressive with only 32 yards off 9 carries. The receiving game was where it's at. Both teams had two 100 plus yard receivers.
Yeah, well, it felt
once again Gronk just keeps catching touchdowns off Tom Brady. Like, it's as consistent as gravity. It's death, taxes, and a touchdown pass from Brady to Rob Gronkowski. It's unbelievable.
See, and this is why I never know why, I'm sure we'll say this a lot during the year because we're always in the thick of it, but I never know why Gronkowski gets left open on during fantasy drafts, because he is an easy 15 to 20 points guy that gets sometimes more than receivers. So because of the reason you just said, that's exactly why. He got two touchdowns because he's just a red zone freak of a target. He's so big.
He's just such an easy. Towards the end of last year, he was really getting back into tip-top form.
Yeah.
And this year, he's just started off where he left off at the end of last year. It looks like he's sort of got his body back behind him. Like, he's been renowned a little bit for being a little bit injury, not so much injury prone, but to be on the injured list a little bit. But he gets through it. And I guess when you're catching 8 passes for 90 yards off only 8 targets, doesn't drop the ball, scores 2 touchdowns. I thought the first thing for this, the real telltale was the 2 missed field goals by Greg Zuerlein.
Yeah. Oh,
they're killers.
I mean, I was texting a mate during it and just said, because we're both Cowboys supporters, and we both said the same thing, cut Zuerlein, because it was absolutely ridiculous. Like, they are cutting
him after week one.
No, I know, but he just,
maybe cutting from your fantasy team.
when you're well in this game, because we were well in this game, Cowboys. We were well in this game. We definitely had a chance up until I never called a 2 minute clock. I called a Tom Brady clock when the Bucks play, because it's a Bucks clock in the last 2 minutes. It literally is. That's just life. you know, you said death taxes and 2 minute Brady clock.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, look, it was telling. It was definitely telling. But then on the flip side, he had that, you know, his three that he got were great. Like, and they were, some of them were very long distance. So
he hit a monster. Did he hit a 50 plus?
Yeah.
He hit a couple of, a 40, even 48. Like that's, he hit a couple of big ones, but I think the two ones that he missed were basically, well, not so much chip shots, but for somebody of his caliber should be able to make.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a little worried about, well, maybe me fantasy wise and you just for your boy, but for Dak Prescott to be throwing 58 passes in week one, especially after all the speculation about his supposed shoulder injury throughout the offseason, that's just not going to keep up.
Didn't look like it bothered him. I know he threw 50.
I mean, but it's week one.
And got 400 yards, which seems to just be just a standard Dak Prescott day lately. But
they can't keep that.
You can't sustain it. That's exactly right. Not for 18 weeks, 17 games. You can't sustain it.
Zeke, you know, Tony Pollard, they've got to take some pressure off.
Yeah, they do. They do because, and it felt like in this game, Amari Cooper was more. It came across to me like, and I like Amari Cooper, but it came across to me like, yes, I know you're all hyping CeeDee Lamb, but I'm still, you know, the WR1 on this team, and it clearly shows that he still are.
Absolutely.
He gets open. Yeah, I know, but it just felt like more of a stuff. Not, you know, just to people, not that doubted him, but people just, you know, saying, no. You know, I'm still here.
Basic. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I guess, like you said, the Antonio Brown had 121 yards on 5 catches.
Yeah.
Like, just unbelievable what the buffet of options that Tom Brady's got when Mike Evans only has 3 catches.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, because you got Godwin, you got Fournette who can get open. They both have a buffet of options technically, and it was just came down to that last 2 minutes where Tom Brady knows how to control the clock, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
He controlled the clock.
Soccer pits the game winner, and it's as easy as that.
And that's all they had to do to win. And look, and full credit to them, like they got off to a good start. And Cowboys, even down losing, that was a good start for us. I will definitely say that was a good start for us.
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely.
A loss is a loss, but
loss is a loss. But to be able to push, a team like the Patriots,
the Super Bowl champions.
The defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
To how they did that, I thought was quite impressive.
Yep. Oh, the other way, speaking of not impressive, I have no idea what the Falcons were doing in that Philadelphia Eagles game.
Not scoring points. Just limp. Green Bay was limp, but Atlanta, man, they just didn't look good at all.
No,
I thought Jalen Hurts was good.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Why aren't people sold on him yet? I know he needs more. I know he needs more of a sample size, but for more often than not, he's proving people wrong.
Yeah, no, I think it is what you just said. That, and I think it's just purely on sample size. Is that he's still technically unproven. He only played a few games last year. So yeah, I guess it's sort of that way, but. If you looked at him, the two quarterbacks side by side, like he made, you know, Matt Ryan look stupid. And Matt Ryan's a seasoned veteran who is an, you know, ex-MVP. Matt Ryan was terrible in this game.
Well, and that's the thing, too. When you've got a dumpster fire of an offensive line like Atlanta's had for the last couple of years, their longest play from scrimmage was 18 yards. That's it. That's all they can muster.
It's concerning because their run game sort of was okay in this game, but, you know, they have very, very, very good receivers, or a very good receiver in Calvin Ridley, and you got this top four pick in Kyle Pitts.
That's right, and they've moved on Julio Jones now, so it's Calvin Ridley now. It's his time.
So, but if, like you just said, if the offensive line isn't there to protect Matt Ryan, there's no way he's going to get the ball.
No.
And that's what ended up happening. Jalen Hurts was, yeah, he was, you know, he didn't have the greatest, he wasn't too, what was it, 27 to 34 for 264. One good thing, only had, one sack and no interceptions. So that, you know, that was fairly good. You know, I think if this was his fifth game, technically. So
his fifth start, I think he'd sort of, he'd come in a couple of times for Carson Wentz there last year. But yeah, I think this is his, yeah, this is his fifth start. So that's, I mean, once we get more of a sample size out of him, but I still think he can be, you know, something good in this league. You know, give him something a little bit more extra to sort of throw at. And well, they've got that now with Devontae Smith.
Was a bit, exactly. I think he's already found his boy, because, you know, they're ex-teammates, ex-college mates. So I think that partnership's already working. You know, it's only been one game, but at least you can sort of see where it's going. And then that's where the ball was going. So it was good. Yeah, it was really good, right, for them. Which I hate saying because they're an NFC East team. But I'll digress. The Steelers. I guess rallied sort of late, didn't they, to win that game? They really did.
Oh, man. This game is on ESPN. They just, man, the start of that game, they just really dragged Buffalo into the muck. I think it was just, it was a really sloppy game. The only thing that was keeping Pittsburgh in the game was their defense. Like, in the first half, they never got over the 50-yard line.
That's because
that can't happen.
That's because
Big Ben. He looks so slow.
He does, and he's just going to do that again.
Why is it just comparing Atlanta and Pittsburgh? You've got older type quarterbacks. Why are you not investing in the offensive line to keep them upright? Why are you making them mobile quarterbacks when they clearly can't do it?
The thing with the Steelers is, or sorry, not Steelers, with Ben, is that he can take a hit. Even he's not a small guy. So I'm not saying he's going to get smashed and he's not going to come out with injuries. But what I'm saying is he can take a hit. He did get sacked two times in this game. He can sort of take a hit, but I still think he's still got enough separation. I guess, you know, he's got three great wide receivers. That's going to happen all year.
You've still got to be afforded the time to throw the ball in the pocket. Well, that's the problem. If he's scampering and trying to scramble out of there he'd run like a 40-yard dash in like 20 seconds. So he's got to be able to have some time in the pocket. They were extremely constipated on offense in the first half. 54 total yards and 0 points.
Yeah.
Like they were just overwhelmed. They were lucky that the game hadn't gotten away from them by them.
They're lucky they have Devin Bush and Minka Fitzpatrick. That's
and TJ Watt.
And TJ Watt, exactly. So, yeah, exactly. They're extremely lucky. I thought on the other side, look, they didn't do Josh Allen, or even like the offense wasn't that bad, essentially. They just sort of faltered in the red zone, I sort of thought. He got sacked three times, but they're just in the red zone. It didn't seem to – nothing sort of happened, I thought.
No, their conversion down there was less than impressive, and that's got to do with Pittsburgh defensively. I think that's just part and parcel of what's going to happen there.
Yeah, there was four fumbles in that game, two from Allen and two from Singletary, so –
No, that's right. I think the big catalyst in that game was the block punt. For a TD in the fourth quarter, that put Pittsburgh up 10, and then that was too far for Buffalo to come back from, which was a bit of a shock start to the season for Buffalo. I think a lot of people are, including us, are sort of predicting them to win. Yeah, 12, 13, maybe 14 games this year, and they're one down in the hole already.
I tipped them as Super Bowl contenders, and a lot of people Josh Allen as an MVP candidate, but you know, not on that game.
He's had that good year last year. Is it too much now to expect it of him?
It's hard to say. I mean, he's still got Stephon Diggs, and he still was able to find Stephon Diggs in this. So I think it's, you know, small sample size. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it's not, yeah, like you said, not a good start. Not a good start at all. No. Bengals beating the Vikings, you know, it was 27-24 and they won an OT. But, you know, speaking of offensive lines, God, you know, Joe Burrow got smashed.
Oh, my God. He can't continue to keep taking hits like that all year.
Oh, poor guy. He can't. He's probably going to.
At least this year he's got himself, you know, a little bit of, you know, of icing on the cake with Jamar Chase. You know, once again, a former, you know, college teammate of his. I think that's a nice little, you know what I mean? Nice little cream on top that he can have somebody like him. You know, he's obviously got T. Higgins there. Tyler Boyd is always a good target.
Mixon's been
extremely serviceable for Cincinnati over the last few years. They lost AJ Green, but I don't mind their receiving core. Joe Mixon was a beast in this. Yeah, 29 rushes, 127 yards and a TD. Yeah, it was good. I thought that, yeah, without being uber impressed by Joe Burrow, it was not so much good game management, but did enough, and especially did enough in overtime for them to get the win.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
they blew at Minnesota at the start, and
I was about to say, they kind of squandered that second half. Yeah, they really squandered that second half. They could have, if they had enough time, the Vikings were definitely on that way to sort of trying to win that game. So
no, that's right. And the Greg Joseph, the only field goal attempt that he had for the whole game was the one that tied the game up.
How about on the defensive side of Minnesota, that Nick Vigil, 10 tackles, a sack, a quarterback hit. He was a couple of tackles for loss.
He could be a menace.
He was, was it how many tackles for a loss then? Or was it two? Two tackles for loss.
He could be very menacing, I think, for Minnesota. For them, you know, they've got a pretty solid defense. For them to sort of let Cincinnati score 27 on them, that could be a little bit concerning to start the year.
You know, they've got Kendricks, they've got him, they've got Danielle Hunter, you know, so they have a really good defense.
Xavier Woods, Dalvin Tomlinson, they've got good linebackers everywhere, they've got a good front four.
That 27 points are put on by Bengals. So, yeah, you're right, it's probably a little bit concerning about that.
I mean, Everson Griffin, like, you know, he's evergreen.
Yeah, true. 49ers, you know, they won the game. How many running backs do they go through in this week one?
Oh my God. Already.
Already.
Two carries for Raheem Mostert. Gone. Season.
Because this is a team that, like, they are a run heavy team. Like, that is their offensive scheme. Their offensive scheme is run heavy. And, you know, it's interesting, to be completely honest. But, you know, that they're run heavy, but that, you know, they lost Mostert. It was supposed to be, you know, I guess a top 20 running back this year, the way that, you know, but then they also didn't have that Trey Sermon wasn't even evident in this game.
No.
He will be now. He will be.
Well, Elijah Mitchell as well. Like, I don't, you know, he'd come in and he was going to be, well, not so much a major focal point, but I knew that they were going to come into this season to use him a bit as well.
But they were like, everyone was like jumping on that Trey Sermon bandwagon, you know, in fantasy leagues. It was ridiculous. And, you know, and he was non-existent, literally non-existent.
It was really funny how this game started too. So the first snap that Jimmy G takes, he drops it. And the first pass that Trey Lance throws is a touchdown.
It's a touchdown.
You're just like, is this going to happen week one where Kyle Shanahan is going to go, right, that's it, Jimmy G, see you later, I'm running with Trey Lance. But, you know, in Jimmy G's defense, you know, only on 17 completed passes, 314 yards.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty damn efficient football. And I get it. It's against the Lions who, you know, who aren't going to be the most or the biggest defensive juggernaut that's going around. Yeah, Jeffrey Okuda got hurt in this game. So yeah, that's one of their top picks from last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a former Saint there in Alex Anzalone, who's a pretty good linebacker through the middle there. But let's not kid ourselves. Like I think the Lions are going to leak points most of this year. But a super fight back by them in the fourth quarter. That was unbelievable.
And that was Jared Goff. You know, his game management was really good in this game. He was able to get to the ball to who I think is going to be his, you know, WR1, even though it's a tight end, and TJ Hockenson. That's just going to happen. Like that's
right. DeAndre Swift caught 8 passes.
Yeah. He was good in this game. For again, another person they were touting was not falling off the radar, but they picked up Jamal Williams from the Packers, and I love Jamal Williams, but I kind of thought they picked up that in the, I don't know if they weren't, if they were second guessing themselves with Swift, but he was good in this game. You know,
other thing is too that Jamal Williams can be that sort of, Mark Ingram, Latavius Murray type thumper.
We did
that
last
can get
year.
You the hard carries, and DeAndre Swift is going to be more of your, you know, like a Christian McCaffrey type, where he's going to be in the passing game, also be in the run game, you know, like a Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, you know, in that sort of mold where he's going to be a dual threat.
He did it last year. With Green Bay Packers. So
exactly.
Debo Samuel must be just clearly Jimmy G's favorite target. Balled out 180. Yeah, the one I told everybody, get off Ayuk, get on Debo, and he got 189 yards and a TD.
That's that 79 yard catch.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. But you get one big 80 yard, which it was still a really good catch. But he had to do a lot of work to get it. So, they were good. I'm still. A win's a win for them, but it's still concerning. Like you said, at least in that sort of fourth quarter with Detroit comeback, and Goff was good. We may as well give him his flowers. He was pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
He was pretty good in this game. Next game, I have no idea what happened to Tennessee Titans in this game. No idea.
They were awful.
Well, that's one good way to put it. They were absolutely.
Tannehill looked like he had a Miami Dolphins jersey on again. Like, man, he was terrible.
Something happened with Tannehill in this game, and you know.
I mean, they bottled up Derrick Henry. Like, you know, he still had 17 carries,
up
but
AJ
he only
Brown.
Had. No, yeah, that's right.
And
Julio Jones was so unimpressive.
Yeah, that whole defense of the Arizona Cardinals was, they've got a great defensive team, like. You know, Chandler Jones.
Sneaky for Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm stepping on my stud, but it is Chandler Jones. At 5 sacks. Oh,
He had 4 in the first half.
He was monster. But they got Butter Baker. They got Isaiah Simmons. They got a small guy in J.J. Watt.
Let's not forget. Yeah, some chump named J.J. Watt. So. That's
they were good.
Yeah.
They
and
were,
he but were. He doesn't have to be JJ Watt doesn't have to be outstanding.
No, that is the best thing
He's
about.
He's got to be solid.
No, he doesn't because you've got
Texans,
your butter
he
bakers.
He had to be everything.
Jones. Yes, he doesn't have to be in this, which is really good. That's probably why he came to the team too. You know, they needed that extra defensive end, and he just looked at it and went, well, I probably don't have to be the absolute star on this team, which is good. You know, he doesn't
to
be.
And that's right. When Chandler Jones comes out and does what he did this week, you know, even, you know, a lot of pressures, 6 hits on the quarterback, 4 tackles for loss. Like he's just, if you have issues on the offensive line a little bit, he will expose it.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, he will. People forgot about his name a little bit too. He hasn't been mentioned a lot lately. I mean, they mentioned him after this game. I'll tell you that one.
That's right. Yeah, he'll be on the tip of everyone's tongue at the moment. But I thought that Tennessee were
you concerned about it? You concerned about Tennessee? Because that's what I was going to ask before moving on. That's
not
one
yet.
Game, but God, damn.
No, not yet. Like it's overreaction. Yeah, you know, awesome. Overreaction Tuesday or Wednesday, like they do on NFL Live with it's week one.
Yeah, true. Yeah, that's
like
fair.
The Packers. Like nobody's going to overreact to what the Packers dished up against the Saints. I don't think too many people should overreact.
I think they just,
whether they got caught off guard, like Kyler Murray was spectacular.
He was. Yeah, he was actually spectacular in that game. He was really good. Seahawks, I think, you know, there was 28-16 scoreline. I think it was just that Russell Wilson was just so efficient in this game because that's how it sort of came across. He was very efficient.
I honestly thought they should have put more points on.
Possible, but
I thought they were a little reserved.
You're right. I mean, it's possible. I mean,
on the road. It's a good game to come out of Indy with the win. I just thought they were a little reserved. Like, you know, they're two studs in Lockett and Metcalf, only had four receptions each.
But they got a good defensive. They're a good defensive team. The Colts. You know, they've got Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner, and Kari Willis at the corner there. So they do have a great defensive team. So that's probably right. They're efficient enough. Like, you know, Russell only had 23 throws attempts, but he made 18 throws. So he was just efficient enough, and that's him, I suppose. That's just the way.
And that's all you've got to do. And for them to eke out a win with nearly 11 less minutes of time in possession,
is
terrific. And for them to for them to come out of Indy, you know, with this win, yeah, bit. I really thought they were very reserved, and I think it was just that we just want to get out there. Let's get the win and let's get the hell home.
And let's get the hell back. Yeah, let's get the hell out of Indianapolis.
Let's get the hell back to the West Coast.
Yeah, that's fair. The Chargers away beat the Washington, the 2016. Well, Fitzpatrick went down early, didn't he?
Oh,
Fitzmagic.
Man.
Everybody's. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, everybody's saying that are they a quarterback away? They're defensively top notch, but. They get Ryan Fitzpatrick and he completes 3 of 6 and he goes out with a hip injury and you're like, oh my God, like what is happening here? And Tyler Heinicke, you know, he comes in, they hold him back a little bit. He only went 11 for 15. They didn't get a whole lot of ball. Gibson, you know, was sort of the focal point there, 20 rushes for 90 yards. Look, Herbert is a slinger.
He is, but he was pretty young. He only had 5 errors last year in total. And this one, he had 2 sacks and an interception in sort of the first game. So he's a slinger.
That interception that he threw with like 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter could have been so costly. Two plays later with Washington on offense and Gibson fumbles, gives it right back to him. And the Chargers make him pay.
Yeah.
So it was very lucky.
Been the other way around.
And it was such a poor interception.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. He's a little bit uncharacteristic, but he can throw a ball. Goddamn. I mean, when you're that young, the arm's probably not, you know, as you've been through the ringers like all these other guys. I
like the fact that he's actually using Mike Williams.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. I thought Mike Williams was pretty good in this game, and he used him in this game, so which is good. And I would honestly probably say purely because Keenan was probably wrapped up in this game, or double teamed, so to speak. So
that's fair
good.
Enough,
that's
what you need to have.
That's exactly right. You need to have that. You need to have someone that else can catch that ball, and Mike was good in this game. I think he got a touchdown, if I believe, in this game.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah, he did. He got a touchdown in this game, so. But they did the same sort of thing. I felt like they did what they did and then got the hell out of Washington. I mean, who wants to stay in a place where you can't even name your football side? So,
no, yeah, exactly. Like, let's just chop chop Washington Sentinels. Let's go.
Well, let's chop through this next tire fire game, and that's the Panthers beating the Jets.
Oh, my God.
Look, the one thing I'll say about this, at least Darnold got a win over his old team. That's what their highlight of this whole game.
He's like, hey, see what I can do when I've got a half competent offensive line, a decent defense, and some weapons to throw to.
When I have Christian McCaffrey that can run the ball and I can throw him the ball as well. Yeah. Because he led both. He led the receiving and rushing. Oh, my God. He's
well, and that's what he does. Like, DJ Moore was good. Your boy Robbie Anderson had his mandatory one catch for a touchdown and 57 yards. Like, yeah, what the hell?
Know. I think there's some problems there. I don't know. Obviously, I thought he'd have this nice relationship with them. But
he skips leg day too often. Like, he can't even fill out a pair of NFL tights. They're saggy on his ass. Like, how does that happen?
He's got
to stop skipping leg day.
That's because his legs are so long. It looks like he probably does. Who knows?
It'd be like having two broomsticks in there.
I will say for the Jets, that nice little combination between Williams and Davis is sort of working at the, and that's what everyone expected. And that combination, he got two touchdowns out of it. So, and Zach's young, like that, he's gonna, this whole team's young.
He's gonna struggle a bit this year. Like, they haven't made any sort of improvements off on the offensive line. It was encouraging. His second half, because his first half was terrible.
I think their oldest player is CJ Mosley, and he's only 29. I'm pretty sure.
Right. If they can keep him healthy, he's a good defensive player. He's a good
defensive player. He is. Yeah. He is. He really is. So,
look, Zach Wilson had 6 completed passes at the half.
Yeah.
So it's much more encouraging for him in that second half. But yeah, a decent win there by Carolina. Looks like they've got things sort of worked out.
As long as their
defense can keep playing well and Darnold can show. I think he can show you what he's really got, Sam Darnold, because he couldn't do that in a Jets uniform.
I think so. Houston, a team that no one thought was going to win any games this year, beat a team that a lot of people thought they probably aren't going to win in many games this year, and that was the Jaguars. So 37-21.
Look, Brandon Cooks. Somebody's got to catch passes. So,
and I said, I've been saying it. I get why people won't pick him up. Don't get me wrong, but someone's got to catch passes in that team, and that dude knows how to catch a ball.
And I think what they've got to try and do really is, obviously game manage Tyrod Taylor there a little bit. And we just got to hope that there's not going to be any more sort of needle incidents into the lung. But look, I thought he was quite good, Tyrod Taylor. He's always been a solid sort of QB. When he was at Cleveland, he was solid. He sort of got the starting job at the Chargers there, and then that unfortunate incident towards the start, at the start of last season. Granted Justin Herbert the starting job there, but I thought what they need to do really is Mark Ingram and their sort of running back by committee. I think they need to try and bash teams out of into wins. Do you know what I mean? Mark Ingram, that's a vintage Mark Ingram type game. Do you know what I mean?
I've always liked Mark Ingram.
26. He was wasted last year there at Baltimore. Wasted.
I like Mark Ingram. He's serviceable. I really like Mark Ingram.
As a former Saint, I thought him and Alvin Kamara were the perfect two-run tandem. And for him to leave, I was extremely disappointed in that. And for him to be not even utilized at all in Baltimore was very disappointing. So for him to sort of come out and have this sort of performance, they've got David Johnson there as well. I think he could get involved a little bit more. And they've got Philip Lindsay there from the Broncos. So they've got a pretty decent run game that they can rely on, I think, as long as, they can sort of create some holes for him.
I know they were playing from behind. I mean, especially in their first half, they were blown out. It was a 27-7 in that first half, but should Trevor Lawrence be throwing over 50 passes in a game? He's one of 6 players, I think we talked about before you got on, that have thrown 50 passes in the first week.
Six players this week threw 50 plus, and Kirk Cousins threw 49.
Yeah, and there was another one, the 348. It's just lost my mind. I think it was. Yeah, I'm not sure who it was, to be honest. But I mean, he can because he's young. But
well, he had to sling it there in the second half if they were going to sort of make any sort of comeback. He was 10 of 21 in the first half.
How many people caught the ball in that team? No, that was the biggest problem.
That's right. Yeah, two interceptions in the first half. Like it just, yeah, that's an extremely mixed, I guess, sort of game. You know, NFL, yeah, regular season debut for Trevor Lawrence. Going to struggle, I think, this year if they can't sort of protect him, if he's sort of scrambling around and then...
Needs more of his receivers. I mean,
no, that's right. Look, I think he's got some serviceable receivers there. I don't think he's got anybody else.
I love Marvin Jones.
Like,
Marvin Jones.
Look, I do like Marvin Jones, but he's not a superstar. I do like DJ Chark, but he's not a superstar.
No, he's not.
You know, Chenault is they're not superstars.
No, you're
they've got serviceable wide receivers there, and I think that their offense is going to continue to splutter all year.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of offenses, the Chiefs beating the Browns, you know, they've got a pretty serviceable wide receiver there in Tyreek.
Yeah, no, he's not bad. He's not bad at all.
It's funny. I think you were talking about, again, this is before we all got on this for everybody, but you said about it's always sometimes a little bit of risk taking a running back in that sort of start of a fantasy league when you're drafting them. I always sort of look at it and I always go, well, I should be taking someone like him or Kelsey sort of straight up because you know what you're going to get with him and Kelsey, but mainly probably Tariq Hill. You know what you're going to get with him. You know, 197 yards. Jesus Christ.
That's 75-yard bomb. Like, good God.
He's so quick. He can accelerate when he needs. Yeah, he's just...
That's the new age receiver. Get separation. You don't have to be, you know, super long or big or anything of that. It's get separation and have yourself a quarterback. Yeah, I guess like Patrick. Yeah, it's nice to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes who can put the ball on a dime. Ball's got some fizz on it. So it's a nice problem to have. You know, have you also got. The only problem is like it's outside of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, not so much good happening there. Like, you know, Mecole Hardman is okay. DeMarcus Robinson, they're not
like a wide receiver too. But see, this is the thing. I thought the same thing with this last year. Is like outside those two,
at least they had Sammy. Yeah, Sammy Watkins can. Yeah, every now and then can be a good wide receiver too.
But then I think who you got, and I don't know. Does it really? I mean, it's probably just have to sort of see towards the end of the year. But I was about to say, like, does it really matter when you got those two guys? I know that sounds dumb, but if they're healthy, if they're
no,
not
it
healthy,
doesn't.
If,
but
if
when
they're not healthy, they're going to have huge troubles.
That's right. When plan A breaks down, then what?
That's going to be their biggest thing. I could see them if Plan A breaks down that they'll probably have to go to like a waiver wire, so to speak, a free agency. They'll probably have to.
I have no choice.
I don't like Harbin. He's not the biggest. Sorry, who?
Someone along the lines of Josh Gordon, who it looks like he could be reinstated at some time this year. I've just been reading stuff about it. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But that could be, I think that could be a really good option for them.
Well, look at Antonio Brown. Like, you know, look
that's what, right. You
know, he got reinstated and look what he became. So
that's right.
It's not bad.
Look, nice Cleveland. To have a good quarterback thrown to you. Look, I sort of felt a little bit sorry for the Browns because I thought they'd sort of gag this game away in the second half. Like, they look really dominant.
They had their running game going beautifully. You know, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they were both fairly good.
Yeah.
I mean, Chubb.
It should have been, especially in that second half, just to wear the clock down, it should have been Chubb time. But, you know, some uncharacteristic mistakes. Look, their front four was menacing and really dominant to start that game. And, yeah, KC, like you said, it was the muffed punt with eight and a half to go in the fourth quarter, and all you need to do is just have that door just a little bit ajar, and it was a drop punt, by the Cleveland punter, and all you got to do is just have that door open a little bit, and Patrick Mahomes will just come kick it in,
and he'll make it pay, and that's what happens. So, they're supposed to. This Browns have a great defensive team, and a couple of big monsters off the top of my head, but Kansas really tried to shore up their offensive the offseason. Not concerning, but he'd still got sacked twice in this game, so
that's not a concern, but
I mean,
it'll be something that they need to that they'll need to stay near perfect, because we all saw what happened in the Super Bowl last year, that with no offensive line, it can turn south real quick.
Yeah. Do you expect the Dolphins to beat the Pats in week one?
This game was sort of a little bit lifeless, really. I thought Damian Harris was good, and that's the kind of game that they need to really sort of push behind is a good run game to help out Mac Jones. A good wide spread of receivers catching the ball. You know, they've got serviceable guys there. You know, Nelson Agholor, Jacoby Myers. You know, they've got Hunter Henry, Kendrick Bourne. Like, do you know what I mean? They've got serviceable guys there that Mac Jones can sort of dink and dunk his way.
And he was pretty good in this game, I thought. For his first actual game.
That's right. I thought he was better than Tua.
I thought he was a lot better than Tua, to be honest. So
That's the thing. The thing that kills this game, you know, is you got Xavier Howard, who was one of the league leaders last year in creating turnovers. He was the one that Damian Harris was terrific until that fumble in the red zone, which was forced by Xavier Howard.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were on the march, and that killed any sort of New England comeback that was going to happen. So also too, I thought New England were uncharacteristically heavily penalized as well. So that didn't really help that they were sort of behind the back foot in that regard. And it just a couple of poor fumbles, a couple of poor mistakes by New England. Otherwise they almost should have had this game.
They possibly did, but they also, like you said, there was a lot of fumbles for them in this game and a lot of lost ball, which is very uncharacteristic. So, they'll learn from it. Like Mac will learn from it. I still thought he was pretty good in this game. You can see that sort of. I'm not saying he's like comparison. I like Tom Brady as a comparison, but I'm saying the type of person that Belichick likes in terms of, you know, a game manager
and mistake free. They're not going to ask. Well,
he didn't throw an intercept, so he was good. He didn't throw an intercept, so. He's a mistake.
But they're not going to ask too much from him until they can sort of get, you know, a good sample size of him. Maybe once we get to the second half of the season, then we might see a little bit more of an expansive playbook from Bill Belichick for Mac Jones. But I think just for now, that's all it's going to be. He's just going to dink and dunk his way to wins if he can. Yeah, they'll try and get. A good run game going, and to try and bash teams in that regard. You know what I mean? Like, there's just some teams out there that's like Houston. There's teams out there that they've got to just try and just hit the run game hard and just try and be physical, and that's how you're going to win. And I think New England could be one of those.
Biggest win of the week was your boys, the Saints. Just obliterating the Packers.
Yeah, like I said up the top, just blew the doors off. They control the thing was that it started from the get go where New Orleans controlled the clock, kept Green Bay on the field defensively for such a long time in that first half. This game was in Jacksonville. It was, moved from all over the place. It was going to be in Dallas, couldn't make it there. It was going to be in Tennessee, in Nashville. They couldn't get it there. It ended up being in Jacksonville, and it was quite a warm and muggy afternoon, which I guess the Saints would have been used to, being training in Louisiana and, Green Bay coming from the Great White North up there in Wisconsin. So I think that first half that New Orleans played was perfect. Kept the defense on the field and just totally gassed them out. And they just couldn't stop what the Saints were doing offensively, whether it was in the rush game or, even Jameis Winston, again, it's sort of dinking and dunking his way to 148 yards and 5 touchdowns.
And they couldn't stop it. Like, they literally, and even if they couldn't stop it, they didn't really have any answers on offense because your defense stopped them a lot.
No, that's gonna be what the Saints are gonna have to really sort of pride themselves on this year, especially to start off, is gonna be get down, get dirty in the trenches with defense, and they need to keep Jameis Winston as upright as possible and as clean as possible with their offensive line. So, look, they had a bit of a reshuffle in this game. Like Marshon Lattimore, he played the whole game, but he looks like he's going to have to get surgery on his thumb that he's hurt. So he's questionable for the next couple of weeks. They lost Marcus Davenport, which is big. Demario Davis is good. They lost Eric McCoy, their center, in one of the first offensive series of the game. So Cesar Ruiz had to move over, and he's played center before in college, so that doesn't really matter. But you just could not see Green Bay just get into this game at all.
No. I mean, so much so, Rodgers himself got pulled off towards the end, and Jordan Love played. That was the telling sign. Just didn't think that was ever going to happen during this year, and it happened in the very first game. Like you said, yes, it was a terrible loss for him, but don't throw the cloak and Rodgers.
Only thing that I sort of see was, Aaron Rodgers threw 5 interceptions all last year. He threw 2 in this game already.
And Aaron Jones was completely taken out of this game, which I
thought. Their rush game was completely squashed. And that's what the Saints do. They had this crazy record going for like 4 or 5 years where it was like 50 games where they hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher.
Yeah, exactly. Who's Tony Jones?
They've always had a stout defense.
Before we move on, who's Tony Jones Jr.? Where did he come from?
He was a guy that came up off the practice squad, got plenty of game time in their preseason games, and he's stepped into the void that Latavius Murray has left. They had a bit of a contract dispute. They wanted to try and restructure Murray's contract just to try and save some money on the salary cap. He said, no, I want to stay on the same contract. They went, righto, we're going to cut you. See you later. And he's filled the void quite well.
Yeah, he was good in that. Got 50, for a first year active player to get 50 yards, he was good. He did the job.
And that'll be his role, to be that secondary, classical thumper behind Alvin Kamara.
The Broncos are one of those teams. They beat the Giants. It wasn't, I guess it was a foregone conclusion, but I like the Broncos team. They're a team that they'll be sneakily good this year. Everyone will forget about them, but they'll be sneakily good this year.
No, I think Teddy Bridgewater's the perfect fit there.
I think so. I think that was, they said it was a versus each other, him and Drew Locke during preseason. But I always thought it was Teddy.
I don't think Drew Locke was ever going to be.
Why trade for for a competent quarterback who you think is going to be then, a quarterback too? It just wasn't going to happen. So
yeah. The more concerning part I think for Denver was, the ankle injury to Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. He was great in this game up until
4 to 6 weeks, it looks like.
Yeah. He'll come back. He'll be fine because he was great. He clearly, is there WR1 over Cortland Sutton? So
that's right. And look, you know, the like you said, they've got Cortland Sutton. They've got, you know, KJ Hamler and Tim Patrick there as well, who are serviceable receivers. Noah Fant's a good tight end. So he's still got guys that he can throw to, once again, if he can stay protected. So, look, yeah, the big concern, and once again, let's not overreact to it, but the Giants getting absolutely zero, zilch, nothing, you know, nothing out of Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I know
he's got to work his way back into game fitness and get them reps up and everything like that. But it's like they want to try and protect him.
Interesting, hey. Interesting when he, in hindsight, I'll put it to you this way. Do you like the idea of drafting a running back in your top four picks?
It just depends. They talked about him as a generational pick.
And that's why it was hard to pick up. Hard to pass up.
Look, you can do plenty more wrong, and the New York Giants did that a couple of years later with the fifth pick in Daniel Jones, who nobody saw coming as their supposed franchise quarterback. That was such a befuddling move by them. Taking Saquon Barkley was not. Not even anywhere close to being as head scratching as that.
No, but what I'm getting, no, you're right, and that's why I think they had to pick him at number two. But it's just when you see like the names of Josh Allen, Minka Fitzpatrick, and Sam Darnold, well, probably obviously Josh Allen, the biggest glaring one below him. Like you just go, oh, okay, it's just interesting. Like
that's right. Well, that was the thing. Like Daniel Jones wasn't even that impressive, at Duke. He only had like 13 starts in his final season of before he was eligible to go into the draft, and he wasn't that impressive for the Blue Devils. And so I don't know what they saw in him. Like, he's a good runner of the ball. He's a big, thick body. Like he reminds you of almost like a young Ben Roethlisberger. He looks like he can take a hit, but when he does get hit, he can't hang on to the ball.
And in the Barkley's case, in reality, he did have that his first season when he was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. He was brilliant in that first year. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Next game was the Rams beating the Bears 34-14. Stafford, you know, looks like he's got people he can actually throw the ball to, you know, starting with Cooper Kupp, which is good.
Well, and you know, and some protection as well there too, because that's one thing he basically never had in. Yeah, what was it, 10 years at the Detroit Lions? So, for him to be not being bashed into oblivion every week, I think will be a very welcome change for Matt Stafford.
Yeah, but they were good. They did exactly what I think the Rams are going to do every year, and that just giving it to Cooper Kupp, not giving it to my boy, who I thought, you know, Robert Woods. I don't know what's going on there. I think maybe it's just...
he was killing you.
He did score, so I shouldn't say that. And their running game was pretty good. Daryl Henderson, as long as he can stay off of injuries, is pretty good at 70 yards. He got 70 yards for and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, in the absence of Cam Akers, so, yeah, he was obviously just going to step straight into the void there. Super efficient by Matt Stafford.
Yeah,
like you said, Cooper Kupp, he's a machine. He's easy a top 10 wide receiver in the league. So
he will be.
Look, I thought, watching this game too, Matt Nagy was not conservative at all in his offensive play calling. Twice he went for it on fourth and short, failed twice, but he knew that he had to score points against this Rams side, otherwise he just wasn't. They weren't going to get anywhere near, in this contest. And it ended up proving that way. Like, you know, there was a couple of blown coverages by the Bears defense, which led to a couple of big chunk plays and long touchdowns to the Van Jefferson touchdown, 67 yards.
Yeah.
It was just a super blown coverage by the Bears defense. And he was just left wide open all the way down at the other end of the field. So, Yeah, you know, I guess he had to go for it because he wasn't going to win playing conservative. So, you know, you got to not so much give credit, but it's that just not going into your shell and go, right, you know, we're basically, you know, conceded and we're going to lose this game.
Well, they did wrap up, Jalen Ramsey in particular wrapped up Allen Robinson pretty well. He was pretty much non-consistent in this game. So, yeah. Non-existent, sorry, not non-consistent. He wasn't consistent at all. But they will probably keep persevering with Andy Dalton. We'll just have to wait and see when Justin Fields, he played in this game, but I'm talking about an actual start to see when
a couple of snaps of Justin Fields. A couple of little gadget trick plays, but nothing too spectacular from him. So look, he'll defend it to the hilt. He's come out and said that he is Andy Dalton. If he's healthy, he is our quarterback. So they're planning on sitting on Justin Fields for the meantime. We've just got to wait and see.
The last game was just an unbelievable game for me. It was a game of the round, and I thought the Cowboys-Bucks was great, but this game was in the new stadium for Las Vegas, in the Darth Vader looking, you know, Death Star looking
in
stadium.
The Death Star. The Death Star in the desert.
And had good, you know, there wasn't concern, but it was going to be interesting to see how the crowds would be there, and seemed to be like a lot of Raiders supporters, so to speak.
Raiders fans are always rabid.
Yeah, they are. But where do they come from? That's what
the
I'm saying.
Silver,
they,
well, and I did hear when they did move there last year that a lot of fans from Oakland were going to try their best to try and travel there.
Well,
they've got a super new supporter base. So and you know, professional sports is becoming, you know, the in cool thing to get into Las Vegas at the moment. So they're generating a lot of new interest there. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. So it's good to finally see the new stadium actually getting used. You know, like SoFi Stadium in the Sunday night game. So it's good to see them. It's good. Yeah, it's right. It's good to see the people there and them getting used and, you know, not having stupid piped in crowd noise.
Both quarterbacks were good in this game.
Carr was ordinary to start with, though.
Carr was ordinary to start with. He got sacked three times, but he come back just
first quarter massively. He was like first quarter he was like 3 of 11.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
he like, was. This is like this could be ugly.
Is it just me, or does he look like he's got like? It's just his eyes, but he looks like he's always got black eyeliner around his eyes. Every time I see him, there's something. Maybe I'm looking too close to his eyes. That's probably
I think you might be.
He got it to one of my other boys. You know, when I say all these boys, I keep saying they're my fantasy boys. He got it to who is going to be their target all year, and Darren Waller. He got 105 yards and one touchdown. That's a foregone conclusion. That's like a Travis Kelce. He is like Travis Kelce now for that team.
19 targets though. Like, is that not trying to force the ball to him a little bit too much? I get it. He caught ten balls, but I think that's trying to force the issue a bit too much.
It's possible, but
he's got other guys there. He's got Renfro. He's got Henry Ruggs.
Got Bryan Edwards.
Yeah, Edwards. Josh Jacobs can catch passes out of the backfield. He's got options.
He does. He was pretty banged up in this game, didn't he? Go off, Josh Jacobs. He got
two
touchdowns.
Yeah, he didn't lie. I think he went off in the third quarter a little bit. He got a bit banged up. So. That's a little concerning. The other concern too, I think, for the Raiders is they lost their backup QB there, Marcus Mariota, who had one rush for 31 yards and looks like he's injured his quad. So now their backup quarterback is Nathan, threw four interceptions in one half, Peterman. So that's less than impressive reading when you see the quarterback depth chart there at the Raiders. But
didn't it all just at the end of the you know, when it ended up being 27-0 and they had to go into OT, didn't that literally that was the best part of the whole game? You had like an interception at the start.
Oh my god, the fumble. It's Lamar Jackson had three fumbles and lost two, but that, oh man, it was just
interception.
Really exciting.
Interception, and then you had a fumble by the Ravens, and then
you thought, okay, well, then they've gone through the two sets, then, okay, the Raiders, then all they got to do is go down and then set up for the field goal. No? We don't do that. We'll just throw the ball and go for a touchdown. And that was the perfect pass. He was completely open. It's like they were caught unawares, so to speak, for Zaja.
Yeah, that's right.
So
and once again, it's a lot of teams get, you know, a lot of offensive coordinators get found guilty of trying to be a little bit too conservative. And you've got to be, but that's the thing. You've got to be able to play a little bit of ad lib. If you can look down the field and see that somebody's open in that sort of regard, you've got to be able to trust your quarterback and that receiver that he's going to throw the perfect ball and that the pass is going to be caught.
Not Gruden. Gruden's
Gruden is anything but.
But conservative. So that, I guess, sort of finishes
animated. Well, let's say animated.
Oh, mate, he is animated.
He's like Craig Bellamy on the sideline. Oh, he gives those side judges an absolute gobful when things don't go his way.
I didn't suspect, before we move on to your start of the week, I didn't expect the AFC West, every team, to win the first week. I thought that was pretty interesting. But it is what it is. That was pretty good.
Both Western conferences, the NFC and the AFC, they are going to be brutal this year.
They are, but, well, you know, if Vegas can somehow keep winning, and Denver, you know, I mean, you got Kansas. I don't think Kansas will be right.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Everyone's trying to catch up to the Chiefs, but... All you got to do is win those out of division games, and then maybe try and sneak a couple of cheeky wins, in the division, and then you put your destiny in your own hands at the end of the season.
I'll say I think maybe one or two, but I think a lot of these divisions are going to be closer than what a lot of people think this year. I just have that sneaky feeling that there's going to be some stinker teams. Don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is I think the second place teams will push the first place teams. There'll be a lot of people vying for that wild card.
More than usual this year. Once we start getting towards the end of the season and we start seeing wild card teams being put in there, there'll be a lot on the line.
Because boys are going to start soon. At the end of the season. They're starting soon, boys, because, there's 17 games now, so they've got to start soon. So,
week four.
Yeah. I mentioned Chandler Jones for me. Who was your start?
Look, for me, it was Pittsburgh's second half.
Okay.
After being just totally, constipated. They were awful in the first half. 54 total yards and no points.
I think either way you could say they can either say they're either constipated or they just had the runs. So either which way is terrible.
Well, that's what it was like in the second half. They did have the runs in the second half.
That's hilarious.
So I thought that was such for them to be down like they were on the road in Buffalo.
Yeah, in Buffalo.
I thought that was such a great effort. Holding that offense to one touchdown.
Mike Tomlin's such a good coach, but he's a great coach.
Defensively, look, TJ Watt.
Oh, Minka Fitzpatrick.
Had a terrific game. Minka Fitzpatrick's great.
Them to somehow, the way they got Minka Fitzpatrick for Miami for that pick.
It's unbelievable.
It was just a steal. That was an absolute steal. I had no idea what Miami were doing, but anyway, that's
unbelievable.
Your dart of the week?
The Green Bay Packers just stinking the joint up.
Yeah, I was going to give it to Falcons up until this game, and then it was the Green Bay Packers literally stinking the joint up, literally.
Well, they were 1-10 on third down, so just 10% on third down conversions. A lot of the and they were saying it during the broadcast. A lot of those guys, like 80% of those guys that played week one against the Saints, didn't play any football in the preseason. You've got to get your guys snaps.
What's even concerning?
Even if it's in week three now, since we're not allowed to have a fourth preseason game anymore, and that's what Aaron Rodgers sort of come out and basically said. Oh, now we've got the fourth, the unofficial now fourth preseason game out of the way. Now we can sort of focus. But you can't. I don't know if you can afford to do that anymore.
I don't like that. That's a bit of a cop out.
It is.
Again, if they won, he wouldn't have said this is a fourth preseason game.
No, that's right.
There's no, like, for your team to come into, you know, a place that they've rarely played to win too, with, you know, that is their home game, is remarkable.
That's
as
right.
Well.
That's so, it's, I mean, it's, yeah. That's what I said. That it was going to be in Dallas. They couldn't play there. It was going to be in Nashville. They couldn't play there. So it ended up being in Jacksonville. And it was, yeah, it was a very warm and humid afternoon. And the Saints would have been used to practicing in that. Yeah. And the Saints are going to be displaced for another 3 weeks or so while the place rebuilds a little bit after Hurricane Ida.
Poor New Orleans. It is what it is for there.
They're in the firing line, and you know, the town obviously didn't get as devastated as hard as what Katrina did, but there's still it's just in a bad spot. And
it's like where we are. Like, we're just in a bad spot for cyclones. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's just it is what it is, and that's just what they're going to have to deal with. And you know, for them to sort of, you know, come out and not have these distractions. It looks like they do have distractions this next coming week, because they've got an absolute truckload of coaches and a couple of players that are on the COVID list. Next week's game could be very interesting with I think it's like 8 coaches and 3 players that are going to be put on the COVID list. So we have to wait and see how that comes back, whether or not they're able to be on the sidelines next week. And that's just what they're going to have to deal with.
It's going
to
be all year, unfortunately.
This is just the first team for it to happen to.
Yeah.
They go to Carolina, so it's that's just what they got to deal with.
Is there anything else to finish on?
Look, I just thought there was a couple of notable contract extensions that happened throughout the Sunday and Monday sort of games. TJ Watt signed $112 million 4-year extension, which is a no-brainer. $80 million of that guaranteed, which is, you know, no better money spent, really. And the Saints, Marshawn Lattimore, got himself a nice fat 5-year extension, a rookie extension as well. It's like $97 million and $68 million in guarantees. So once again, for me, a no better investment for the Saints, because ever since he's come in, Marshawn Lattimore has been one of the premier cornerbacks in the league.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree. I was just thinking, like, how does a mum produce, like, so many good, like, how many good defensive players? You know, they're both on short of money.
Could you imagine the food bill in that house when they were kids?
Yeah, I think we said the same thing last year, because I'm sure, isn't there another one that's playing for Pittsburgh as well? Another Watt brother?
I think, is he an O-lineman?
I think so, but Derek Watt. Derek Watt, he is, I love the power of the internet, he is an offensive lineman for the Steelers. So, he can rush the ball too. So there you go. But he's also, he looks small too. He's only, you know, 188 centimeters and 130 kilos. So he's another small boy.
There's not much to him.
My God. That food bill would be chaotic, absolutely chaotic. They all sort of – it's interesting. I remember, you know, just before we finished, speaking of the Watt brothers, all three of them were getting interviewed by someone, and I think they all sort of said Derek was sort of the player in high school that everybody was like, you know, this is going to be the player. So it's interesting how, like, anything sort of changed. It could be coaches. So they said, like, he was, you know, when you go to high school formals and that, he was like, you know, prom king, everything. He was like the guy. So it's interesting just how things, like anything, pans out. So,
and how the funny thing is too, like you said, the brilliant pair of the internet, all three brothers went to Wisconsin.
Oh, of course they did.
So I wonder who started that. They're just like, yeah, your last name's what? Yeah, we'll recruit you.
I'd say that, yeah, that would have been just something in, well, not something in place, but they're all 26, 28, 32 or 30. So I'd say, yeah, obviously JJ's went, you know,
guess what? My brother's just
they just would have had like a 9-year run of at least one Watt brother at Wisconsin. God.
And then it clearly panned out for him. Clearly,
so, yeah, it's going all right for him.
Well, that's week one in the books for our NFL pod. As always, socials are Twitter at Final Play Pod, Facebook, Final Play Podcast. That's an easy one to find. And where you can, if you're especially starting with this sort of NFL season, there'll be plenty. I'm assuming. I don't know because you'll know more than me. But we're talking gimco.com.au. I would assuming the amount of quarterback rookie cards this year surely has to be more insane than any other years, surely, with five or six.
Some nice gear. I was in the one from week two. I think there might be one up, another one up already. So that was good deal. They always have great stuff. I think that was gold. I think that was gold standard in this last NFL break too, which I always like. I've always been a fan of gold standard. So, 2021 gold standard. So it's, all the rookies from this year. So, always good value. With Gimco as well, they're doing NBA, NRL, AFL, Major League Baseball, hockey slides in there every now and then. Yeah, I haven't done it. I might have only been a few weeks ago. It hasn't been a WWE one for a while. So, come on, Mojo King. Hook a brother up.
Maybe you need to go and source them and then start buying them for him. I don't know.
If he can get them for me, I'll do them. But, hook a brother up. Let's get on to some of that good stuff. There's two really good Topps products out there at the moment in Topps Finest and Topps Chrome from last year, from 2020. So, Let's get some of that happening. I've got the itch for some more WWE breaks. So let's get some happening. Let's go.
You getting a jersey this year? At all?
A
NFL jersey.
No, I'll just stick with my Alvin Kamara one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Kamara's fine. I see they're thick and fast at Rebel now. They're everywhere at Rebel.
They're starting to get it, but that's just your generic ones that are there. There's probably only about six or seven teams, and I guarantee you 1,000% they're not going to have any Saints there. So
they do, but for some reason they still have a Drew Brees one there. So
well, and that's fair enough. If I could snipe, yeah, I might be able to snipe something like a Michael Thomas one. I wouldn't mind a Michael Thomas one, but
no, there's a Kamara one there.
I'll stick with my boy. I bought this Kamara one while I was in Hawaii a couple of years ago. So that's I'll stick tried and true with that for a little bit.
I want a Cowboys one, but I don't want Zeke one. That's all they.
Is that all they got? Is Zeke Elliott? No Prescott.
Prescott, which I prefer a Prescott just because of the fat contract. I mean, I suppose what's name does, but then I prefer even either that or probably a CeeDee Lamb one, to be honest.
Yeah, get your boy CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. Oh, mate, that.
Have a look on a website called Caps with a Z, KAPZ.com. Pretty sure it's .com.au. They've got NFL jerseys now, and there's another one. I think it's US Sports Down Under. They do NFL jerseys as well. So shout out to those two guys as well.
Yeah, maybe hook us up, guys.
Give us the hook up. They're always putting stuff up on escorted sports tours. They always put up the US Sports Down Under games from week to week on which channels they're going to be on. So nice. They're always into
that. That's US Sports Down Under, isn't it? Yeah, I remember seeing
that. And this time of year, now that the NFL's in full swing, they should have some good gear on there.
They do. But the power of the internet, all they got is Zeke. Come on.
Well, you have to get on eBay then.
Yeah, I would rather Prescott. At least I think he's got more longevity, Prescott, I think. But we'll see.
You might be able to look on eBay and I'll give you the hookup and get it sent to my ship my cards account in Arizona, and you might be able to send the jersey there, and I can send it back at the end of the year.
Ah, cool. That'd be great.
I'll get you the hookup.
All right. Well, on that note, my name's Jason. Get me the hookup, Smith.
Now Miles constipated plum, so let's
I should have said that. I should have said I've got the runs. I forgot about it. I should have said I've got the runs. That would have been perfect.
Oh man.
We'll be back for week two.
Back for week two. Just loving. I'm so glad I'm on days off for around Mondays and Tuesdays at this point in time, so I can actually get up and enjoy the NFL. So yeah, no, brilliant stuff. So that won't last. So, but you've got to take it while it comes. So, but yeah, enjoy next week. Yeah, again, always some belters around. Just trying to think what next Thursday or next Friday morning's game is. I think it's the Giants and the football team.
That could still be a good game. You'd be surprised.
It could be an all right game.
I think so. All right. Have a good week, everyone.
Everybody.